Welcome to this podcast about education. Enjoy our open conversation. This is Latoya.
This is Iselle.
This is Cameron.
This is David.
Say, as well as the ones that are actually getting an education when it comes to public school are people who are in honor classes. When it comes to us students who are in like the basic type of classes, not the high ones, then that's when they really don't care. You know?
Mm-hmm. It shows like a division, like within the students that they want to see succeed and the students that like
we just because we're already like we're already labeled. Like they already know what students are not gonna be going to college and all that. You're already labeled, like
why do you think that they're labeled? Like the private and the public is labeled. Why do you think that?
Because money. It involves money. It involves with who can actually pay for the system of getting their student, like getting their kids the education that they want, or just letting them go to have a free education and, you know, go through public education. And I feel like that's the difference that they see
between public and private
just,
school.
It's just the money difference.
It's the money difference. But I hear that money, as far as the private school, that it's a cost to even get into a private private school.
Oh, I think you pay monthly, don't you?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so I'm just trying to figure out
I'm trying to figure out
what would make that any different, the public school compared to the private school, if in some way we're getting, I guess, the same education.
Public school is getting paid through taxes.
Through taxes. Oh, okay.
And then there's the private schools who are getting paid by, if you have your son in there, you're paying for your son's education.
Right.
Directly. And also, like, the taxes that you pay, like, towards education, like, if you live in, like, a richer or, like, a white neighborhood, like, those taxes are going to go into, like, that school. Yeah. And you're going to get more benefits, and you're going to get more, like computers and books and different things like that, and, like, probably lunches or different programs. Whereas if you live in, like, a poor neighborhood or you go to school...
Where there's us, instead of getting everybody damn food, they're still charging you food, even though they know that we're in a low-class place, like, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It just depends, like, where you at. Like, the county, honestly. Because, like, in San Bernardino, I've never, like, honestly heard of a private school, if I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, around here, I haven't. But you can see, like, in other areas, such as Riverside or Chino, they can be at, like, every other corner. Or, like, Catholic schools. Yeah, you can see them, like, every other way.
I know that I did experience going to a Catholic school when I was growing up in Los Angeles. And at the time when I went to private school, there wasn't a cost for that.
Really?
There wasn't. Wow. And I went to Catholic school. There wasn't a cost to go to school back in, I think I was born in 84. So around that time, by the time I got into, like, that even was first or second grade, I think I was, like, the age of maybe, like, eight, nine-ish. And it was completely different. Like, I remember growing up, and, like, just the school system itself was just different. And as going to a Catholic school, like, at the time when I went to school, they had paddles in school still. So, exactly. I mean, and they implemented that with one hit on the bottom, you know. So it was completely different. But back then, it's completely different than now. Now you talk about having that in the school, like, there's just no way. There's no way.
It's because it's like society grew upon a different way.
Yeah.
For what class? I would have to do this.
It is definitely different.
And I did it on that one.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about the No Child Left Behind Act? What do you guys think about that?
That's the thing that we're gonna just random it. Just talk about it. Like, that's
She's recording right now.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, she recorded this whole thing.
Really? Damn.
Okay. It's good though, I will definitely be editing that out.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think about the No Child Left Behind Act? I know that is a huge one. Working in the I used to work in the school district, not anymore since I started working here at Valley College. I know that was a huge thing for us back in the day. Well, I think it might still be implemented. I'm pretty sure that it is.
No, it started in 2001. But the thing is that, like, even though that thing is putting all the kids, like, in one place, like, even though it's taking them to the other grade, they're not getting all the same education.
They're not getting the same education.
Exactly. Some kids need more help than the other, and they're not thinking about that. They're just thinking about getting them out of the school.
Yeah.
Yep.
With public schools,
so do we think that that's valid? or invalid. I don't think that's valid anymore, because from just 2000 to now, it's changed drastically.
It says that they ended it in 2015. 2002 to 2015.
The No Child Left
Behind.
It says 2002.
I don't think so, because I think they would have been talking about it. I don't know, but, like, I just think that it shouldn't be placed. Like, my mom says in Mexico, like, how they are, it's more of a, you're not going anywhere until you know the thing. Like, if you don't know it, you're staying in this grade. Like, you're staying until you get it.
Yeah, and a lot of parents are getting like that now. I know my son's school at Henry, it's a magnet school in Rialto, but they are really strict about allowing a student to go to the next grade if they don't or didn't get the proper material in that grade that they're in. So my son was actually faced with that, because he was in fourth grade and they were like, well, Miss Latoya, your son is not, there was two areas that he was really struggling with, mm-hmm. which of course those areas are typically reading and mathematics. And I was like, okay, so what are some of the things that I can do to kind of help him get him above his level, because he's a good student. Mm-hmm. They didn't say anything about him being a good student. He's a good student. It's just those two areas, because they do state testing on those two areas, they have to know that. And they were like, well, if he doesn't know these certain things by this time, then he's going to have to repeat the fourth grade again. And I was just like, okay, well, not a problem, because I'm a parent that believes in, if he don't know it, then he gonna stay where he at until he gets it, because I'd rather he get it than to move him over to a fifth grade and not know the material, and then they're just gonna keep passing the kids along, and then he's getting college and he knows nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, no.
What I've also heard is that the ones that struggle more with like certain subjects is actually Africans Americans and the Mexicans as well,
because
like
the Hispanic
culture, yeah, like they struggle
that, and they are, that statistically they are one of the highest that struggle with those two areas, just by me doing research on what we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. I do know that I was able to get him extra tutoring and help so that he can be ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. I always try to strive for ahead of the game then right underneath. So he was able to, I got him a tutor, and by him having that extra help helped him a lot. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that extra help can be outside of the school. Mm-hmm. Normal days.
They have way too many kids to focus on.
Although the school that he attends is only, I think, about 400 students, so it's really small. Mm-hmm. It's not very big, but they only go up to fifth grade. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're really big on allowing a student to go to the next grade. And but mainly what I did like about the school is that they really want the students to succeed. They will not put them in that next grade until they know that material. So unfortunately, LJ didn't have to do that. He worked hard. I said, this is it. You either know this material or you're gonna remain in the fourth grade. And you know, sometimes kids be like, well, I don't want to remain in the fourth grade
I
again.
I can't help that.
And I'm like, it's not a bad thing. You have to teach your kids that it's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes, you know, kids don't know. You know, they feel like, oh, because this is happening, I'm not smart. Or
they feel like they're gonna get made,
or they're missing something. And they're not missing anything. It's like, we want you to get your we want you to get what you need.
It's gonna benefit you at the
what
end.
You need,
you just pass
is
over.
Definitely gonna benefit you in the long run. So I'm so glad that he was able to get that done. Now he's in the fifth grade and he's actually above where he above. So I, like I said, I always try to push for above. But mm-hmm. I think that was good that the school implemented that, as far as not pushing students to that next grade. Mm-hmm. And taking the initiative, we really do care about our students, you know, as well as our parents too, and having that that communication with the parent and letting them know, because I think that's a lot of times where schools fail, public or private, is that they don't have effective communication across the board. Mm-hmm. Period.
And it says here that if schools don't meet the adequate yearly progress, like under No Child Left Behind Act, It says that if it misses it 2 years in a row, it has to allow students to transfer to a better performing public school in the same district. If it misses it for 3 years in a row, it must offer free tutoring. And schools that continue to miss achievement targets could face state intervention. So states can choose to shut the schools down, turn them into charter schools, take them over, or use another significant turnaround strategy. And schools that don't make AYP have to set aside a portion of their federal Title I dollars for tutoring and school choice. Schools at the point of having to offer school choice must hold back 10% of their Title I money.
Wow.
So it's all about
and 10% of a Title money is a lot.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. So they like, what can I do to get these kids together?
Yeah, so what do you guys think about that? I mean, it sucks that, you know, kids would be falling behind, but, like, with the option of free tutoring and, like, with options of, you know, things like that.
I think the more options you have,
the free tutoring no
good.
Matter what.
Yeah, like, I feel like
the tutoring should always be there.
Absolutely.
I would always, because, like, for me, like, I've always had struggles. For one, like, my household always speak in Spanish. So, like, trying to learn the whole English.
So, the language, it was always a language barrier.
I'm still not good at reading. Like, I still have, like, very trouble. Like, I could read fast, but I have trouble pronouncing some words.
In English?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, still in Spanish, because I don't read Spanish that much. But, but because of that, my struggles in that, like, they provided me a tutor to go to my house and help me out with the subject that I needed, and that helped a lot, because I had people just there, like, but just me, like, helping me out, like, instead of a teacher who had to, like, help 30 kids out, I had one certain person just helping me out. So
that's always good.
And the school paid for it.
That's good. I think some things in the school system is good.
It's like agreeing to do.
But I think they removed that, if I'm being honest, the whole, like, having someone go to your house and tutor you. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I've heard
nowadays you have to find your own tutor outside of those public school systems. But then there's some that will offer free tutoring for parents for their students. Like, I know Rialto District, they do this thing called Parent Night, and the parent, they have those meetings where the parents will come out, anybody in the Rialto School District, their parents will come out, and they'll say, okay, this is where we're at as far as our schools that are in their district, and then they offer free tutoring for those students. So if you have that option of signing your kid up for the other, you know, things that are offered to you. Now, not all districts do that. I don't know if Colton does it. Fontana definitely does it. But, you know, my son goes to school in Rialto, so I deal with whatever's in the Rialto district. But, like, some districts have it, some districts don't. But they do offer that free tutoring. I think sometimes Colton. Parents don't take advantage of the free things that are offered to them for their child, and for whatever case may be, you know, because, you know, parents are working, they got to go around their schedule, and then you just get some parents that just are just simply lazy, and that's just the truth, because when I was working in school, I would be like, okay, you can get help for your student, but you're refusing not to. I'm so confused. And I don't know why that would be, to where you would refuse to get help for your students, but, you know, family dynamics are different.
Well, like, I know for the Mexican culture, it's not really one of the, like, education isn't very, well, I was placed on it. My parents, like, automatically, like, they've always told me, you better get your education so you could support yourself. If, like, something bad happens, you know that you have the money to support yourself. But most Mexican cultures, their education isn't something that's very important. What's important to them is being hardworking. Like, you have to have a good work ethic so you could get, like, somewhere,
you
know?
Where you want to get, yeah. It's not really forced upon. I feel like with me, with my situation, I feel like I pushed myself instead of having my mom on my back, because I felt like I had to prove it. So I felt like I just pushed the power upon myself to do everything.
So what do we think about the social construction of education? Or maybe the
about the social construction of education. I think that education is becoming more like education is really viewed as something that's, like, necessary, like, in our culture. But it's very exclusive, and I don't think people, like, really dive into that is like how exclusive like getting higher education is, mm-hmm. and like how rare it is to get like good education like out of the public school system. And like we're finding more and more often that like people with like bachelor's degrees and stuff are still working the same jobs as people like who get high school degrees. And so it's like, I don't know, I think that plays into like the social construction of it, is like what is like the real purpose of this, like
getting your education of getting people who are still getting just a high school diploma are getting the same thing.
Exactly.
And which isn't fair. Like you would think that because you're getting your degree, you're going higher into mm-hmm. education, that you'd start getting paid more than someone who just has something basic, minimum.
And that's not even to like to make it like a hierarchy, but like if you're investing, like people have you're like student hard. Loan debts, like our professor talked about that, like his student loan debts before.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you're getting all of that, but you still can't, you're still not comfortable, or you still can't necessarily support yourself, or you're still not getting the job that you were promised because of this education. Like, I don't know, I think that plays into the social construction of it. And definitely, like, education as, like, a, like, said to be the gateway into, like, making more money, mm-hmm. but then it being so exclusive.
It's like a agree to disagree. Like, there's some benefits with the backfall. Like, as you're saying, people have to pay debts that they worked maybe 4 to 6 years going through. And it's unfair just to say that, you know, people that are barely graduating high school aren't getting, like, or they're getting, like, the indifference of, you know, I worked years off, I should get a better job. And people who are barely graduating high school getting, like, same paid. And I think it's really unfair. Mm-hmm.
What about the theoretical perspective? Like, how would that play a part in education? Or maybe some of the data. How would some of the data play a part?
Like talking about like the bachelor's degree. It actually became one of the educational standards in the U.S. In 2016, 88.4% of adults completed at least a high school degree, and more than 33% of the adults had attained at least a bachelor's degree.
Wow. So do we think that people are just like not really caring about pursuing their education furtherly? Or they just think that I graduated from high school, that's all I need. And you know, of course, our mind goes that way in some aspects, but really, like, it shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be. We should always be wanting to pursue higher, always. You know, Professor talked about that, and I think, I'm not sure if it was in race or in intro, because I have them both, but so I know that he was talking about how I think it was today, how he was talking about, because he gave us a question about education, and basically I had mentioned to him that nowadays education is kind of like under the radar, because there are people that are billionaires that making money, entrepreneurs that are just like loaded and have no education.
And that's what I feel like.
Hi, and we're back with our conversation on education.
So we wanted to talk about affirmative action, and to give a definition, affirmative action is the practice or policy of favoring individuals belonging to groups known to have been discriminated against previously. So like when affirmative action was in place in California, it's no longer in place. It held like spots, admission spots for marginalized groups like Hispanics, Blacks, and Asian Americans. And so I wanted to ask you guys how you felt about it, or what you guys think about it. Because I was talking to my mom about it, who like she got into school, not I don't want to say because of affirmative action, because a lot of people think there's a lot of misconceptions about affirmative action. That,
what are you trying to say is that they favor you on your race? Is that what you're trying to say?
Those are a lot of misconceptions about it.
They leave, like, a more of, like, a different, like, opportunity for different races, as if, right? Yeah, so and people get the missed spots. Yeah, and people view it as differently, saying that, why can't other groups get it? But it's for the minority.
Yes, and people also think that, you know, that they're just letting anybody, like, who don't meet the qualifications
get those spots.
But that's not true.
It's for certain groups that don't, like, get recognized so they can get the spots.
Exactly.
And people, so it's for the, like, let's say, lower class people. So
like, the minorities, like us.
So anyone that is, so that I'm understanding correctly, so anyone that is a minority is can get these types of
the spot
like spots.
Well, not anymore because they don't have it in California.
Not anyone, but it's like, so if people apply to, say, like UC Berkeley when affirmative action was in place, then like they say there's 100 spots and they reserve 15 for minorities, then those spots would be filled only by minority people who meet those qualifications, who are like top of the class or who have, you know, 4.0s, whatever. And then the remaining spots would be for
open to
like, let's say higher end, like universities like Berkeley, that they're more likely to get someone who is from San Bernardino, like, you know, they always pick like someone from lowering, and so like they collect, like, they're diverse.
You said that's what they do.
From like a professor told one of my friends, she was telling me, yeah, like what Berkeley does, like not just Berkeley, like necessarily Stanford as well. They get people who are necessarily San Bernardino, who are either Mexican, Black, you know, or Asian, so they could look more diverse and just getting all the white people with more money.
I think that's like very true, but also like if you look at the statistics in like Harvard and like UC Berkeley, and like I went to UC Santa Cruz for a year, like the population in UC Santa Cruz for the last like 20 years has never gone above 5% for Black people, has never, and the year that I was there, and like there's so many students there, has never gone above like 3%.
Wow.
So it's like, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's just a difference, yeah. It's crazy difference.
And without, like, when affirmative action was in place, like that was like putting a lot of, like giving a lot of opportunities to people who haven't had those opportunities, and people who, you know, as we learn in this class, like our history is not the same as the history
of others. Yeah.
Like there have been a lot of roadblocks like 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like grandparents, parents, generations. Mm-hmm. So it's like to say that it's like reverse racism, or that like it's racial discrimination against like white people because they don't get those spots, like it's very ignorant.
It is. It honestly is because it's like they try to find any other opportunity to say it's unfair when they pretty much had the clearest road. Like they didn't go through any trenches. Like people went through so much just to get the education that they fairly get.
Exactly. Right. And as if, like, if they don't get accepted into Berkeley, they won't get accepted into
anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, and have the means and have the generational wealth to go to those other places. Like,
well, that's definitely something to
think about.
Because I wouldn't even thought of even thinking about something like that.
And they don't have that anymore. And, like, you can tell with the statistics.
Oh, yeah. Just the majority of one.
The majority. Well, that concludes our open discussion on education, and we hope that you have enjoyed our podcast on today. Thank you so much, and have a good one.